Coming up on today's program.
Art gets me to focus on something else. It's not dwelling and thinking about all these situations that I've been in and living in the past. It kind of gets me to be in the present moment, which is a good thing for veterans and those with PTSD.
The healing power of art. I'm Jerry Kenney. This is WISO Weekend. As always, thanks for sharing your weekend with WISO. That story coming up later in our final Veterans Voices for this season. Always very pleased to have an in-studio guest with us, and today it is WISO's General Manager, Luke Dennis. Luke, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jerry.
So, I have to tell you, I saw your son in the building recently with you, and I think he's got some height on you now, if I'm not mistaken, or pretty close.
He's really close. We compare constantly, and I still am a teeny bit taller than he is.
Okay.
But he's going to certainly exceed me.
Okay. How old is he now?
He's 16. And you remember when he was a little guy, a very short person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We marked his height on the wall in the kitchen. And we can see like 11 years of his progress in there. And he's grown a lot in the last 11 years.
Yeah. This wall in the kitchen has a lot of the heights marked of the kids, of volunteers, staff that have passed through WISO over the years.
Yeah. We're trying to figure out how to take that wall with us to the new building because it's special. It goes back to, I think we started marking it in 2015 or 14. So it wasn't right when we moved into this building, but 2 years after we moved into this building, we started doing that.
So the point of these staff and volunteer interviews is to give our listeners a little more information, get to know the people here at WISO. And let's talk a little bit more about your kids.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay. I have two kids. I'm so proud of both of them. Lucy is the oldest. She's 19. She's a sophomore at The Ohio State University, studying music and education and singing. And Oscar is 16, and he goes to Yellow Springs High School, and he just got his first car, and I think he's a pretty good driver. And he's a baseball guy, so not a music guy.
I do know the arts have always been important to you. We first met when you were the executive director of Muse Machine.
Exactly. Yeah. I used to reach out to you hoping that WISO would maybe do a story about the Muse Machine, and that's how we got to know each other. And I still adore that organization, and my heart is very much in arts education and the Dayton arts community. I've my whole life been a fan of it, and it sometimes worked in it professionally.
Was Lucy a part of that organization growing up?
Yeah, she was. So when she was a little girl, I took her to Muse Machine rehearsals, and she kind of knew what it was. And I always thought, oh, you know, wouldn't it be great someday if she gets to be in one of their shows? And then when she was a junior and a senior at Stivers School for the Arts, she got leading roles in two different shows that the Muse did, in Little Mermaid. And then she played the Dolly Parton role in 9 to 5. And, you know, I'm biased, but I thought she was fabulous. She got to work with Joe Deere. So I was just so proud. It was a real full circle moment for me to see her. It had nothing to do with me. I was just in the audience cheering for her. But yeah, she, my whole family, we love the Muse Machine.
How many years were you involved with them?
About 4 years, and then moved the family to Massachusetts for a professional opportunity. And then eventually my next job after that was this job at WISO. So
yeah, you started as development director, correct?
I did. Nina hired me as development director in 2012.
Yeah. And speaking of the arts, you also play music. Right?
I do. That's a huge I have always been in a band.
Yeah.
My whole life since I was about 14.
WISO listeners may have heard you. You sing the Sustainer song, don't you?
Oh, God. Yeah, I
that
do.
That we air during fun drives.
I do. Yeah. So my friend Mark Babb and I, we used to write a new song for every drive. And that one was just maybe catchy enough, or it had a maybe obnoxious enough. It's a banjo and me singing about how sustaining members are like good looking and nice people. And I can't quite remember the lyrics. Yeah. So I do sing on that. But most of what I do is play bass in a band with a couple of guys. We've been a band for 12 or 13 years now.
What kind of music?
It's all freeform, improvised. It's really rooted in jazz and funk. We're a trio, but we love when maybe a fourth guest might come out, and like a flute player, a sax player. We've even had a singer come out and improvise lyrics. So we only improvise now. We actually kind of stopped writing songs. And after COVID, we stopped performing out live. So we just play for each other every Friday night.
So you don't perform at venues, but it's still a gathering, a small community of musicians that you have.
It is, and sometimes our friends come out and sit on the couch. We've got a real man cave thing going with old furniture and a beer refrigerator. And yeah, so it's a real joy for me. It's a highlight of my week to make music with these guys. They've become really great friends, and we speak musically together so well.
Arts is often generational within families. Did you grow up with that? Were your parents into the arts?
Oh, very much. I mean, my dad is such a music guy. And when I got into The Breeders and Guided by Voices and Brainiac, he did too, because he was open to new music, you know, in the early 90s when I was in high school. So we always went to concerts together. We went to a Steve Earle concert together 2 months ago. Like, we go to a lot of concerts. But my dad's not a musician, but my mom is actually a professional musician, a church musician and a piano teacher and a really terrific pianist. So, I did grow up around music, and my parents totally tolerated all the bands that I was in high school rehearsing in our living room, you know, and all the equipment was in the living room. And so they've always supported me as a creative person.
Several times we have done, or maybe just once, we have done the Battle of the Cats and Dogs during the fun drive. Do you have household pets?
Yeah, great. You're asking me all my favorite topics. Anyone who knows me well knows that I adore my dog Maureen. I talk about her a lot. She's a pit bull rescue. And then we have another pit bull rescue that Lucy, our daughter, came home from high school with one day because somebody had a pickup truck in the parking lot at Stivers with a bunch of strays. Or dogs that needed home. So yeah, we have two dogs, and we have a cat named Dill. But always been animal people.
You're almost an empty nester, perhaps.
I mean, yeah. Oscar. So Lucy's already out.
Yeah.
Although, you know, being at Ohio State, we see her a lot, which is great. But Oscar is halfway through his junior year, so we are approaching empty nest, and I'm actually not worried about it. Sally, my wife, and I, we've been married for 23 years, and we actually met in a choir, and we've just joined a choir together. So we're already like doing stuff together that don't have the kids involved. So the other thing in my life in the last couple of months that's become really big is that we joined the Bach Society of Dayton, led by David Crean, who's the music director over at Discover Classical. So it's cool to work with another public radio colleague. This is I don't know how many voices it is. It's probably 60 or 70 voices, and they bring in a professional orchestra, and they do a lot of classical repertoire, and they also commission new works by young composers, which I think is a terrific ensemble. Yeah. And we just had our holiday concert over the weekend, and I'm super proud of it.
You have been with the station how long, have you said?
Yeah, I started here in May of 2012, so whatever that is.
What do you think about the direction of the station? I know you've been a big supporter of this mix that we've always carried of news and music and storytelling. So what is your kind of philosophy as we continue that mission?
I see that they all work in a really beautiful synergy together, and that they're all complementary, and they all add up to a total service that has something for everyone. I really believe that. And if you only want to enjoy the news, or if you only want to enjoy the music, that works too. But I see our future as continuing to strengthen all three of those areas, as well as the area of archives and preservation, which is a pillar of our public service. And I started talking about this in the last couple of months, and I like it, so I'm going to try it out here. I see WISO as kind of the media arm of the nonprofit sector in the community. Because it's a place where you can, if you're a local artist or a musician, you'll find a platform here. You'll find support. We care very much about telling the stories of the nonprofit sector in Dayton to help them do their work, to raise awareness about social issues or things that they're tackling, food insecurity, environment. Some of the beats that we cover here align with the work of good nonprofits in our community. So proud of that. You and I have been here a long time. You've been here longer than I have, and a lot has changed. But music has always been a core piece of our public service. I think what you're hearing more and more is that we're putting more and more resources and energy into music, and we're reminding everybody that we see it as just as valuable as our news, that music can be a public service, and creative expression that speaks to the heart and not just the mind is really valuable too. So then the same with storytelling. Sometimes facts don't lodge in the brain or the heart the same way that a story does, that exemplifies or embodies a set of facts. So I see news, music, and storytelling being this really powerful mix that we're going to continue to strengthen, and especially within the digital space. We're not going to go anywhere. We're going to always have our FM signal. We'll always be free and available to anyone who owns a radio. But I see a lot of really good creative work happening in both content creation and the ways that we deliver content through the digital space. And I see that through the leadership of Juliet Frumholt with Novaphonic. I see that as Will Davis and Chris Welter create new web build-outs for the amazing stories that come out of the center. So I think the future of WISO is not just one of one piece of anything. It's this, Richard Wagner would have called it Gesamtkunstwerk, which is like the total art form. It's like when you listen to public radio, you get the total art form. You get a little bit of everything. As I look to the future, I see a very bright future for WISO, even in spite of this kind of scary, precarious situation that we are emerging out of now, where the federal funds were rescinded 6 months ago. The local community has stepped up in a big way. We continue to hit our revenue targets every month. And what the community doesn't know yet or hasn't really seen at all is that we're moving into a gorgeous new facility in the February-March timeframe that's going to exponentially expand our ability to serve the community, to bring the community together, and to do creative programming within the arts and within storytelling and music. So all of that adds up to a really bright future for the station.
Luke Dennis, general manager of the station, it's been great to get to know a little bit more about your family and home life, and thanks for the information on WISO as we move forward.
It is a pleasure to remind our audience that everyone who works here lives here too and is a human being with all kinds of other hobbies and interests. So I really appreciate your opportunity to help our staff connect even further with our listeners. So thank you, Jerry.
You're listening to WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, community-owned public radio for curious listeners. I'm Jerry Kenney. Again, thanks for joining us. In this season of Veterans Voices, we're taking a look at how military service and creativity connect and meeting veterans who are using the arts to reshape their experiences. Here's the host for this season, Marine Corps veteran and musician Zach Sliver.
Candace Baker is a Navy veteran and an artist who channels the discipline and precision shaped by her service into her leather work. What started quietly has evolved into her craft, with every piece sharing a bit of her story.
I had this idea, like, the Sailor's Creed, I'll do that. And I actually cut out all the words so that way I can transfer that onto this piece of leather because I didn't want to waste it. It is a dead animal, you know, you want to make it worth something. And then I had this background idea for the flag, but of course I couldn't just have a normal flag. I had to be challenging. So I made it wavy and started carving in different depths of the leather. It's pretty thick leather. I got to use paint, and then I really like how this blue turned out on the flag. My hope is to be able to do one for each of the branches. This one is the Sailor's Creed, and you got the Navy, Army, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Air Force, Space Force. So keep my hands busy throughout the winter would be good.
Candace joined the Navy looking for a fresh start. And in the beginning, the structure and the stability were exactly what she needed. But over time, she encountered painful experiences that added even more weight to what she'd hoped to escape.
So I had childhood trauma. I was sexually assaulted when I was a teenager. So I joined the military to get away from all that. The job I did and chose was a diesel mechanic, which specialized in hydraulics. Yeah, so, you know, they fed you. They made you work out, keep everything tidy and all that stuff. So you kind of had this routine. But after being on deployment for so long, it just felt like it became this savage kind of environment, more primitive, you know, there was a few females. It wasn't an overwhelming amount. And it's not like we all stuck together, you know, and, you know, looked out for each other. Everybody's trying to survive. And so one thing led to another throughout deployment, and I ended up getting sexually assaulted while on deployment. with someone I trusted and, you know, a higher figure, a chief. And I was just an airman. So I tried to tell and they kind of slept under the rug. So just being assaulted in the military and then a civilian life and then not trusting anybody, it just gets really hard. So art actually gets me to focus on something else. I get to use my hands, which I enjoy. If my hands are busy, then my mind is free. You know, it's not dwelling and thinking about all these situations that I've been in and living in the past. It kind of gets me to be in the present moment, which is a good thing for veterans and those with PTSD. It's hard. So I just come down here in my basement and I'm just like, all right, I'm just working on my leather, you know, leave me alone. So just something, anything, life is hard. I mean, with great art, there's always some tragedy or pain that's behind it. So I guess being able to like feel that pain and to put it out there in the world as a physical object has been like very therapeutic for me.
Veterans Voices is presented by RightPath Credit Union. Additional support comes from the Dayton Ombudsman Veterans Transition Team and Montgomery County Veterans Service Commission. Veterans Voices is produced at the Eichelberger Center for Community Voices at WYSO. Up next on WISO Weekend, Maureen Fagans has served as the Executive Director of United Senior Services of Clark County for 13 years. In that time, the organization has expanded while serving thousands of older adults through wellness, connection, and education programs. We recently spoke with Fagans about her time at USS as she prepares to retire from the organization in January.
80% of our annual budget is spent on service delivery, which is important. I mean, that's the way it should be, providing whatever that service looks like for somebody to maintain their independence. And we're very proud of that. And I think we're a really fiscally responsible organization. I think taxpayers are satisfied with how their dollars are being spent in the community. But it's also very important that this current generation of me included, you know, that we help them to remain active and involved for as long as possible. And we believe that our centers and the activities that we offer help people to maintain or improve their health. And it's to everybody's benefit if we're successful at doing that, so that people don't need those support services as early or don't need to make a decision about moving into some kind of residential facility until it's absolutely necessary. That's a win for taxpayers. That's a win for families. It's a win for the person who wants to live that life that way and who doesn't. My pastor calls it the third 30, how we want to live the third 30. So that's why we do what we do. And it's taking more of, it used to always be the back seat. And we'd have this beautiful center that can help you. But it's becoming more important that we reach our older population and make certain that they take advantage of the exercise classes and the fitness room and the pools and engage in lifelong learning. It's so important to age successfully.
I think a lot of people are actively getting on board with that philosophy.
Right. And I think this generation, the boomer generation, I mean, there's a whole lot of us. And throughout our demographic has influenced change, you know, in a number of different ways through the years. And I think we're seeing that change manifest today for what it means to age successfully. We won't tolerate being degraded. We won't tolerate being discriminated against. We have to advocate for ourselves. And there's a very large population that are willing to do that and willing to define what that looks like.
How many people do you serve annually or however you want to quantify that?
Sure. Last year, we had 5,900 people who had registered and were using our centers on a regular basis. In addition to those 5,900, we also provided some level of service to another 4,300 out in the community, whether that was meals or transportation or some other kind of support service. Almost 10,000 people, Clark Countyans. So about a quarter of the older population that are eligible to find us and take advantage of what we offer. We're very proud that people do use us and are discovering us. And we talk a lot about how to be best prepared to accommodate more. And it's grown every year. I started in 2013. We counted about 1,200 members. So it's growing. And it's the population. I think it's a combination of having a facility that people want to use and want to be a part of. But it's also, we're a very large demographic.
If you could encapsulate how you feel about your tenure and your experience with United Senior Services, and maybe if you care to tell us what's next for you.
I've been telling people that I'm leaving for 5 reasons. One is my mom, and then the other 4 are my grandchildren. None of them live near me, and I want to be able to spend more time with them. And so my husband's been retired for a couple of years and has really enjoyed it. And we want to travel, and we want to be able to go see our family when it moves us. So that's why. That's my reasons. And I've promised my family I'm not going to commit to do anything than home projects for the next 6 months. So there's been a couple of offers, but I want to experience what retirement looks and feels like before I consider a commitment anywhere else. I would say that my biggest takeaway is that I've been a part of something really special, and not everybody gets to experience that. This has been more than a job, you know, it feels like a mission and a calling. So it's been a very humbling and gratifying experience. I'm very grateful to have had it for as long as I have. Things are changing too. When I started talking to my board last summer about retiring at the end of the year, the government hadn't been shut down yet. You know, that wasn't part of any consideration. The movement to eliminate property taxes hadn't started to get any bandwidth. And so I'm leaving the organization at a time where things are going to change. And certainly change can be difficult for some people. But one of the benefits of my work has been an opportunity to meet national and state advocates who are involved in successful aging around the country and here in Ohio. And advocacy is becoming more and more important, because things are changing, you know, policies at the federal level and funding at the federal and state level. There's lots of changes afoot. And so United Senior Services, and for many of your listeners, they're going to know us as Elderly United, we're just going to change with that so that we can continue to do what we do.
Maureen Fagans is Executive Director and CEO with United Senior Services of Clark County. Maureen, thanks so much for the conversation today, and good luck with your retirement and spending time with family.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
This is WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO, connecting our community through news, music, and storytelling. Up next, Today from the Ohio Newsroom, and then we'll wrap up our program with Bird Note.
Today from the Ohio Newsroom, passing the Kwanzaa torch.
Support for the Ohio Newsroom comes from Cerity Partners. Cerity Partners' Cleveland-based wealth management practice is a neighbor offering objective advice with national strength and resources. Information available at CerityPartners.com/NPR.
This December, Today from the Ohio Newsroom is going all over Ohio, far and near, to spread some holiday cheer. I'm Kendall Crawford. This festive Friday, we're celebrating Kwanzaa, the week-long festival honoring African American heritage and culture. Today, we'll hear from Diane Gordon, who has led Toledo's Kwanzaa tradition for more than 50 years, since it started in 1967 in her aunt's home. She recently passed the torch onto her grandson, Rodney, who now will lead the community in celebrating the 7 principles of Kwanzaa: unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, and faith. The two sat down together to talk through this important family milestone.
What was your first Kwanzaa celebration like?
I was starstruck. Sitting with my family, both my mother and her twin sister, it seemed just enormous amount of information to take in as they talked in the language that I was not accustomed to, and that was the African language of Swahili. But I gravitated to understanding the importance of knowing my history.
Yeah, you've definitely taught me the importance of knowing your history throughout my life. And that's pretty much why you wrote the book on Kwanzaa. Can you tell me why you did that?
In order to leave a legacy for you guys to understand the importance of Kwanzaa, I felt it necessary to put it in writings for a keepsake that you could follow, and also to see the pictures where you have grown to be a young man, because you know you started very young. I think you were like 3 or 4 when you had your first caribou.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, I know there's pictures of me as a baby in there, like just very young Rod.
How did you feel about your first Kwanzaa celebration?
Granny, we covered how I was 3. I can't remember that. what I can tell you is when I was younger, Kwanzaa was, like you said, it's a lot of information. And looking back on it, I'm very thankful that I've had the amount of time that I have to absorb all of the principles. As I've gotten older, as I've sat with these principles, as I've, you know, really tried to apply them to my life, I feel like I understand them a lot better. You kept this tradition alive in our community for decades. What would you say you're the most proudest of doing?
Working throughout the community all year long, teaching young people that they could be anything they desire if they just stick to it. And so being a part of the community as a whole. One last question.
Okay.
Would you do it all over again?
I should be asking you that one. But yeah, I mean, of course I would. I've grown and developed and learned a lot as a young adult into who I am now. It's definitely given me a lot stronger sense of identity, make me a lot more connected to my heritage and my roots and not really feel as lost. I believe that trying to show the community all the different things that we have to offer each other is the beauty of Kwanzaa. So I really appreciate that. Thank you, Granny.
Thank you for taking on the task. And we're going to support you for all that you're going to do in the coming future.
That's Diane Gordon and her grandson, Rodney, who now leads Toledo's Kwanzaa tradition. That's all today from the Ohio Newsroom. We'll talk with you on Monday.
This is Bird Note. In the depths of winter, when sub-zero temperatures last for months and most lakes and ponds are frozen over, how do birds stay hydrated? Water derived from food alone is not enough, especially since juicy insects are in short supply this time of the year. Instead of flying long distances and losing precious energy in search of liquid water, birds imbibe the frozen water that's all around them. While cedar waxwings sally to catch snowflakes from midair, plenty of other birds, including the red-breasted nuthatch, white-tailed ptarmigan, pileated woodpecker, and Bohemian waxwing, scoop up fresh, powdery snow from the ground, trees, or rooftops. Black-capped chickadees drink the water dripping from icicles. The northern flicker hammers at the icy top layer of snow and eats the tiny shards of ice that chip off. Eating all that ice comes at a cost. It takes energy to convert ice and snow to water and warm it up to the body temperature of a bird. But it may be worth the calories for, say, a red-breasted nuthatch when the alternative is to break off from the flock in search of liquid water, leaving it exposed to predators such as hawks. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. That's it for this edition of WISO Weekend on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Jerry Kenny. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our theme music is Another Beautiful Day in Paradise by Magnolia Bolthead. This program is a podcast and can be downloaded and subscribed to wherever you find your podcasts. Until next time. Take care.